It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut Four. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Konecko.
I'm here.
And at long last, the return. Hashtag the return. It's Ian K.
It feels so good.
I sense a little bit of irony there, but that's all right.
It's no irony. It's completely serious. What did I say? It's so good to return to the Cut Forecast? Is that the expression?
Yep, that's the expression that people have used for generations upon returning to the Cut Forecast.
It's so good.
So good to be here again.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank
colloquialism
you.
Now.
Thank you for joining us, for us to make fun of you in the first two
always.
Minutes of the podcast. We have a lot to get to. I mean, a ton. We have a metric ton of stuff to get to today. It's that heavy. It's not. Hopefully it's not heavy, but you understand my meaning. We're going to talk about the holidays, maybe what gifts we might give unto our favorite players. Mm-hmm. We'll discuss some New Year's resolutions that we may have as they pertain to baseball, and then we're going to bring it home with the topic I am the most excited about, more so than these two people, and that is Star Wars The Force Awakens opens this week. Fun fact, if you're listening and you are like me and you get backed up in your podcast listening, it's entirely possible you'll be listening to this podcast after you have seen the movie, in which case I am very envious of you. But before we get to all of that, we have the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz.
Is it about Star Wars?
It is not about Star Wars. Well, it's only a little bit about Star Wars, but it's mostly not about Star Wars. And Ian, are you excited to have the Cut Forecast Pop Quiz back in your life?
This was the part that I missed the most in the month that I haven't been on the podcast.
Yeah, if you're listening, you can't see the expression on his face, which is sheer joy, exhilaration. It's as though he went to the Museum of Feelings in New York City and he experienced
all the
exhilaration.
All lit up.
And this is what it is. All right, so here is the question. I'm going to name three players that are thematically related to our topics today. And you're gonna tell me which one I made up.
Okay, I like this quiz.
You're gonna make up the player?
Yes. There are three players. I made up one of them.
Okay.
All right. None of them are active, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Because that would be too easy.
Yes.
The first player is Nick Claus. He was born in 1919. He was the catcher. He played one season for the Detroit Tigers in which he appeared in three games and yet sports a lifetime 412 batting average.
Good for him.
Good for Nick Claus.
If he's real.
If he's real.
If he's real. Second player, Steve Christmas. Born 1957, he was a pinch hitter, a catcher, and a first baseman. He spent three seasons with the Reds, White Sox, and Cubs, and he has a lifetime 162 batting average. And our final player, our third contestant, if you will, George Lucas. He was born in 1928. His position is unknown, but he played three minor league seasons and was a career 276 hitter in 1,204 at-bats. So that's Nick Claus, Steve Christmas, and George Lucas. Who is real? Who is fake? There's only one.
Is this a team challenge? Can we work together on this?
If you want to
work together. Like there's a theme between the first two players.
Uh-huh.
And then Dakota just wanted to say George Lucas.
Well,
they're related to the topics we're discussing.
It's true. It's true. Well, we know Steve Christmas is real.
Right, that's a real guy.
Yes, because we've done so many Cut Four posts about Steve Christmas.
All right.
Then
who's the fake one, George Lucas or Nick Claus?
I think George Lucas is fake.
I think Nick Claus is fake, just because I feel like the made-up stuff about him is stuff that Dakota would make up just like thinking about who he was going to talk to about.
Is it like Nick Claus, like Santa Claus, or is it like...
It's C-L-A-U-S. It could be Klaus.
It could be Klaus.
Yeah.
Okay, if you think that George Lucas is real, then we can go with...
But that also makes so much sense that Dakota would just want to say George Lucas.
I do want to say George Lucas.
He had a 412 batting average?
Nick Claus? Yeah.
Real or fake Nick Claus?
In three games.
Oh, that's a lot less impressive.
Yeah.
Okay, I will switch to Gemma's side and say that Nick Claus is
okay,
fake.
Okay, I guess we're going to go with Nick Claus.
Nick Claus is fake? That's right! Nick Claus is fake!
He's
the one I invented. You guys got it right. I will go first at the end of the show to sum up in 140 characters are a podcast. Yes. Well done.
Are you going to get a George Lucas jersey now?
I kind of want a George
Lucas
jersey.
What minor league team was he on?
I like random teams I'd never
heard
of. Okay. So he was born in 1928, to give you a sense of the time in which he played.
But there's a pretty good chance that that minor league team has since had a Star Wars throwback night and a George Lucas jersey and a Star Wars themed jersey.
That's true. I would say it's a virtual certainty that they've had a Star Wars theme night. It's
and
like
if you wanted a Back to the Future one too, I'm sure they've done that.
Get it, 2-for-1 deal.
I do want that. I want all of those things. All right, let's move on here to our first question. It's the holiday season. It's the time of giving. And a time of receiving gifts from people we like, but or people we hate. I don't know. You may have to write a thank you card to somebody you hate who got you a gift.
What? So, did they get you like a poison apple? What gift are they giving you?
Sometimes you get like, you know, oh, cool.
Gifts from your enemies.
Yeah, like the
it's like clearly
gift card to
a threat.
Gifted.
Yeah. Like, I once got, like, a gift card to a stationery store. And I was like,
I would actually really like that.
That's, like, passive-aggressive because it's, like, saying, hey, why don't you buy cards to send me a thank you card?
You probably got them, like, the nicest thank you card ever because you went to the stationery store to get it.
To thank them for the stationery upon which you wrote to them.
That's a silly thing to get somebody. Anyway, here's the question, is if you're getting a gift for your favorite baseball player, who would you get the gift for? What would the gift be? Please don't choose stationery. Ian, we'll start with you.
Well, I'll preface this by saying that I'm not a great gift giver. My family just like not huge on it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It was never like a spoken thing, but over the years we've kind of just done less and less of like, I don't get any gifts. I don't really get anyone else any gifts. It's not a huge deal. So I kind of have to go by what I'm seeing, you know, with other people. Like, I haven't done a ton of shopping myself yet. Mm-hmm. And what I'm seeing is that there's two things the millennials are getting this year.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'm thinking, you know, who's like a cool young millennial in a cool market right here in New York, Dylan Betances.
Are you going to get him a participation trophy?
I'm not going to get a participation trophy. The only thing better than a participation trophy, he's getting a hoverboard.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
every millennial needs a hoverboard.
Of course.
And what do you do once you have a hoverboard? You get a drone to film yourself riding the hoverboard. Okay?
This is really good. You're a great gift giver. What an awesome idea.
Dylan Betances, a 6'8", 27-year-old on a hoverboard with a drone. Happy holidays.
He's the ultimate millennial.
Mm-hmm.
Yankees fan.
Yes.
Well, he's the right age for that. That works really well. Now, here's a question. I think they're banning hoverboards in New York City.
Are they really?
Really?
I think so. It's like,
just because they're
dangerous.
Well, why don't they ban Razor scooters and people who try to rollerblade by you? Like, what is
Look,
that?
Just because they're banned doesn't mean that ban will be enforced. I'm just
or
saying.
Penny
first
boards.
They came for our 96-ounce sodas. Now they've come for our hoverboards.
That's true.
Do hoverboards really catch on fire, though? I've heard about that. That they just
explode. I've heard that, too.
My friend got one in L.A. She likes it.
Did she explode?
No, she's not exploded.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, so seems pretty safe.
She treats
as far
like
as we
pet,
know, 100%
actually,
of the hoverboards have not exploded.
That I have encountered in the wild have not exploded.
Is it like the Segway where you have to lean? Or is there like, because I always see people like, they have their hands in their pockets like this. And I wonder, are they controlling it on like a phone? Or is it?
Yeah, millennials control everything on their phones.
That's true. That's a good point.
Then you could be, have you seen that new Missy Elliott video?
No.
Nope.
You need to watch it immediately after we do this. There's hoverboard choreography.
Wow.
It's amazing.
Are you sure that isn't the OK Go video?
Stop. It's so good. There's also a Pharrell marionette. So
I think because Pharrell is required to be in every music video.
It's very good and you need to watch it.
I think the OK Go video would have the hoverboard on a treadmill.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good call. All right, Gemma, what are you getting and for whom are you getting?
Well, because you said favorite player, and I had to determine who that was. So I like went into this player existential crisis of who I decide should say is my favorite, you know? So I decided to just go for someone who I thought would be easy to shop for, honestly. Because it's like,
what a great reason to pick somebody as your favorite player.
For the purpose of this question, that's what I did. I was like, okay, well, I really like you, Darvish. I obviously really like you, Darvish, but he has a lot of stuff. I don't know what to get him. So I decided to get a gift for someone who I do really like and who I think his taste is similar to mine in things. So I decided I would probably get a gift for Brandon McCarthy.
Okay.
Because share, it seems from Twitter, similar tastes in pop culture. I have nothing near as good as Ian's hoverboard drone combo. I was like, I could probably just get him like some books and like Mr. Show on DVD. It would be really easy. He'd be like, all right, thanks.
Okay.
Thanks for these gifts.
You wouldn't get him like a Liverpool jersey?
No, because I understand that, and that's our major difference, and that's why we would ultimately become enemies, I guess.
Okay.
Like Ian and I are your enemies.
That's true. You're both fans of the English Premier League club.
Maybe I would just get him a Harry Kane England jersey.
That's a good idea.
Just passive aggressively.
Yeah, he'd love that.
Yeah.
He would love that.
That's what I would do. Mm-hmm.
Good. And that's the end of the soccer portion of the conversation.
Gemma's gift was some books.
Some books.
Well, if you really want me to talk about the books that I personally want to get for people.
Question. Yeah. How many times have you been to the library in the last week and a half?
Three.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I'm going tomorrow, too, before I get on an airplane.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So I thought, I also had a weird existential crisis about who my favorite player is. Now, we were talking earlier about... I have sort of a common refrain of players that I bring up often. And I'm going to resort back to those players now because they are my favorites. But the first person I thought of, obviously, Yasiel Puig.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of Yasiel Puig, really just in general, but also when we're thinking of these questions. And then I thought, well, what do I know about Yasiel Puig? Because I don't know the man. I only know the way he plays baseball, his Instagram. But what I know about his Instagram is that he loves the Minions.
He loves
the Minions. And he, if you haven't seen, on his Instagram, he once shared a photo of a television surrounded with Minions. And he was like, these are all of my friends.
Yes.
Which is awesome.
That was really awesome.
And then he also loves theme parks. I always see him Instagramming photos from the various theme parks of America.
Mm-hmm.
He was at Epcot in Florida. And then I thought, well, you know who else loves theme parks is Hunter Pence,
uh-huh.
who proposed to his now fiance. At a restaurant at Walt Disney World. And I said, all right, I am a fan of Disney and theme parks in general as well. I'm going to send both of them to Universal Orlando for their holiday gift because there's the Harry Potter world down there
mm-hmm.
and they have more Minion stuff down there. And so they could bond together and you could sort of help heal the LA-San Francisco rivalry.
So what really you're getting them is the gift of friendship with each other.
Yeah, a little bit I am.
Aww. Are you going to be there or are you just going to be like, go without me?
I assumed I would be there. That was part of this. They would each get a plus one and they would invite me.
But so you would be both of their plus ones?
At least one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. If Hunter Pence wants to bring his fiance, I guess that's okay. So, like, whatever. But yeah, like, that wouldn't have, first of all, wouldn't that be a great holiday gift for me?
I'm glad that you figured out how to give yourself a present.
Just to kind of give himself a present.
Yes, he just gave himself a trip to Epcot with Yasiel Puig.
Universal. He's already been to Epcot.
Whatever. Listen.
So, that was my gift. The other thing I thought of was David Ortiz, because he's going to be in retirement. He mm-hmm. can use a lot of Hawaiian shirts, which...
Helpful.
I know that's a cliche, but I bought my father one when he was, like, becoming retired, which he is pseudo-retired.
Uh-huh.
It's complicated. But I got it for him, and he was like, oh, ha, 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 very funny. And he would never wear it. And then he wore it once, and he lives in Florida now, obviously. And he goes, this is amazing. And he wears it all the time now. So.
Well, that's great.
On Fridays. Friday is Hawaiian shirt day.
In this, it should be in the MLB office. Should we should do that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You now you're required to wear one.
I don't even know where you get one.
I don't know. The store. The shirt store.
When I was
the
in high
shirt
school,
store is
we
an
established
adult who shops
Hawaiian Shirt Friday and went to the thrift store and got a lot of great Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah.
Very loud prints, floral. And then we all wore them on Fridays.
I feel like all the thrift stores are too picky now, though. They're like, oh, it's not trendy enough. Can't sell that.
Yeah. That's so true. Well, that's also
like,
in New York.
I'd have to get like an emoji shirt. Like that's what they have at the thrift store.
If you go to thrift stores in other parts of the country, it's not like that. I think you're a little bit, your New York bias is showing.
Well, I'm going to be in Michigan for 2 weeks, so I'll go thrift shopping there. You guys want me to bring you back some Hawaiian shirts?
Yes.
Yes,
great.
We do. That's
great.
Your holiday gift to us.
Maize and blue. That's what they're going
to
be, though.
I'm going to get a Hawaiian shirt and a trip to Universal with Hunter Pence and Yasiel Puig.
I'm getting you a stationary gift card.
No! All right. Let's move on. Let's get away from that holiday, the gift-giving holiday, and into the holiday of introspection.
Yeah, I think that's how it's marketed.
Left. That's what
across,
it should be,
across
right?
The land.
Holiday of introspection.
Sure.
Like get
Yom
ready.
Kippur.
A little bit, yeah.
Yes.
But more about like how you're gonna better yourself as a person rather than the mistakes you've made.
That's what people think when they sell their open bar tickets for this holiday.
Yeah,
like,
we're talking...
Get ready to think about yourself and all the ways you can change.
We're talking, of course,
and there's a champagne toast at midnight.
Yeah. We're talking about New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. I personally think of it as the introspection holiday. Clearly, I'm outside the mainstream on that. That's fine. But that got us, that at least that got me thinking. Clearly, it got the two of you thinking about, you know, midnight parties, which, whatever.
Listen, when you're sitting around at midnight thinking about your you know, accomplishments
I'm gonna
and goals,
myself as a person.
We won't be drinking champagne out of, like, a rhino horn on a roof somewhere. That's what's going to be happening.
Well, then maybe this question, we're going to pose it to you first.
All right.
Dakota didn't get invited to the rhino horn party like we did.
He did not.
Wait, there was a rhino horn party?
We got it on our fancy
what? Here's my question to the two of you. Gemma, I'm going to ask you first. This is ostensibly a baseball podcast. Mm-hmm. What's your baseball New Year's resolution?
I think that if you've listened to the Cut Forecast ever before, you can probably guess what my baseball-themed resolution is, which is to stop being late to games all the time.
Good. That is a good
yes. I do pretty well when I'm going to game with my dad. We usually get there for batting practice, so we're early. But in every other circumstance this year, I was pretty late. So I'm going to try not to do that anymore. I'm going to try to show up on time and not drive my car there.
That would be smart.
Even though Sayfield is so annoying to take the subway to.
Your New York bias.
Yes, it is. That's okay, though. I'm proud of it.
Good.
Yeah, that's my other resolution is also to be less judgmental about the jerseys that adults choose to wear to baseball games.
Good. That's another good one.
Yes. I think I will only succeed at one of them, so we'll see which one it is.
I think your New Year's resolution should be to wear a jersey to a baseball game next year.
I only have one jersey.
What jersey
is it? It's enormous. It comes down to, like, my knees.
Who is it?
Yes, it's a Mets jersey. I've said it before on the podcast.
But I don't listen when you talk, so.
That is true. He was a pitcher for the Mets.
Bartolo
was a pitcher.
No. It's older. It's an older
Bartolo
jersey.
Still could be a
pitcher. Johan Santana. Hopefully.
It is Johan Santana.
I did know that one.
Yes.
That's right. I feel like I
should just give it to Matt.
That's a good jersey to have.
It is
you should
good.
Give it to Matt.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a decorative item because it's so big I can't wear it.
Matt's tall. And we're talking about our cup for later, Matt Monaghan. Hilarious.
Yes.
He's a Mets fan. That would be a good
Well, if you get me a jersey for Christmas, I will wear it.
Okay.
No, I take it back. Wait, I take it back. I take it back. I take it back.
Great.
Oh,
I already know exactly what jersey is going to be.
Be perfect.
I don't know. What? Maybe a Joaquin Benoit Tigers jersey? That might be good.
We'll tweet out the photos.
That could be a good one. All right, Ian, what's your baseball New Year's resolution?
I have two resolutions. One is a thing I should do more of, and one is a thing that I should do less of.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is to listen to more Vin Scully. Mm-hmm. You know, I listen sometimes, but this may be the last year of Vin Scully broadcasting games, and I think that we should cherish it as much as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when it's 1 a.m. on the East Coast and that game is in the seventh inning and it's like I should go to sleep, maybe this year I should stay up, you know, and just make sure I get a couple more innings in because you just never know.
I like that.
The last year. So that's what I want to do more of. My resolution for doing less of, I want to be less angry about the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame is a thing that makes me very angry every year because of some of the decisions over the voting and the inclusion and certain voters who want to tell me what I should think about certain eras of baseball. And it makes me angry, but it's something that I can't control.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that can't really change my opinions about players. So I want to just be less angry about it.
How are you going to do that? Like every time someone just starts talking about a specific era in the Hall of Fame, you're going to be like, time to put on the meditation tape.
Yeah, it's going to have to be like a lot of tuning out.
Vin Scully
a lot of tuning out. Mm-hmm. A lot of just like looking at baseball reference pages of certain players.
That's what I was going to
appreciating
a lot of the videos. We have all the highlights. Because like I think what what bothers you about it, I think what bothers me about it too, is that the conversation becomes about the voting process and not about the players
right.
who are mm-hmm. going into the Hall of Fame or should be in the Hall of Fame. And so just always like looking at that stuff is a good way of like not being so angry about it.
Yes.
The highlights are still there.
They are.
MLB.com/video. That's the real Hall of Fame.
True.
They're going to put that on the website.
That's the real Hall of Fame.
That's the real Hall of Fame. Those are all really good. You guys have good ones. I feel like mine is not introspective.
You're supposed to be king of introspection over here.
Yeah, it's not though. I actually like part of the reason why I did it was that I thought it would be kind of easy. So anyway, mine is I am resolving on the new year to watch games in 5 stadiums that I've never been to before.
Oh, that'll be fun.
Right? Wouldn't that be fun? So the 5 I picked out because I felt like this would be easy to do are Miami, which I've never been to, but mm-hmm. I always wanted to. I've seen it from the outside now, but with my retired father
yes.
and mother living in Florida.
Hawaiian shirts.
In Hawaiian yes. shirts, we'll all go. We'll blend into the just general aesthetic. Camden Yards, that's relatively
pretty
close. Nationals Park, relatively
easy
close.
Easy to get to, yeah.
Petco Park, that's where the All-Star game is, so I might make it out that way. And then Dodger Stadium is the hardest one on this list.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just going to have to be like, I'm going to Dodger Stadium.
Well, after you and Puig go to Epcot Center together,
yeah,
maybe you get invited to Dodger
yeah,
Stadium.
He'll be like, hey, come yeah. on, let's come see a game.
That's probably exactly what he sounds like.
Yep.
Hey, come on, game.
Why don't you come to a game? Hey, come on. Yeah, that's how I picture yeah. you. That's the old Puig talking. All right, well, let's move on to the topic that I'm most excited about. Enough
All
baseball.
Three of us are most excited about.
Oh, yeah, we're so excited.
Yeah, enough baseball. Who cares about that? What really matters is what's happening this weekend, and that is the premiere of Star Wars The Force Awakens.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people will say that they've been waiting for this moment for, you know, 10, 15 years when the prequel trilogy that George Lucas put out was completely released to theaters. I would say that we've really, as a society, been waiting for this for more like 30 years because these are the direct sequels to the films we really liked as opposed to the prequels that were telling us stuff we already knew. So,
did we already know that stuff?
Yeah, I mean, the general arc.
I guess we didn't know, like, just how boring certain love affairs were.
Right, that was the mystery. Like, yeah. When you think about one of the big beats of the prequels are Anakin Skywalker is born, Anakin Skywalker becomes a Jedi, Anakin Skywalker is evil, and is now Darth Vader. We knew all of that. Like, that's
yeah,
not,
we just didn't know how uninteresting that part yeah. of the story was, and now we know.
Now we know, and yeah. we're like, no thanks. Whereas the new, we don't know any of this. There's not. It's all mystery. We have no idea. J.J. Abrams is directing, so we may never know. But be that as it may, I am obviously extremely excited. But this is a baseball podcast. Sadly, I can't just talk to you for the next 45 minutes about Star Wars. So instead, we're going to discuss this question, which is if you were to take a Major League Baseball team and attempt to make a Star Wars movie using them as the cast and their manager as the director, which team would you pick to perform this task? Now, I'm going to say this. The Star Wars film that you make, it can be a sequel. It can be a remake of the originals. It can be whatever you want it to be. So you don't have to tell me what it's going to be. Just sort of if you want to cast the players, however you want to do that is fine. Does that make sense, or are you completely lost?
That makes sense.
It definitely makes excitement.
Sense. Yeah. It definitely makes sense.
Oh, okay. Well, why don't you go first,
it
Mr.
Makes sense.
Attitude?
I don't agree with
Look,
the premise.
I'm not
going to
like fault anyone for nerding out over Star Wars. Like, I read all the Game of Thrones books. That universe is possibly even more improbable. So I'm not going to, you know.
I'm not going to judge.
I'm not
going to
judge.
Judging.
Wait, you don't like fake space in your earlier words, but you're definitely cool with like fake medieval England.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
All right. Okay.
I just, you know, I like it to be grounded in an earth-based kind of world.
Uh-huh. With dragons, though.
With dragons.
And zombies.
Well, like, is it a zombie? It's like an undead kind of person.
Yeah, I mean,
maybe.
I feel like that's in the zombie, like, category.
Spoiler alert.
They're not like... They're not like mindless, like flesh-eating zombies.
It's true. It's not a brain.
Like personality. Well, I guess some of them are kind of mindless flesh-eating zombies. Anyway, so what I'm trying to say is, like, I saw the original Star Wars. I haven't seen any of the ones since then. I'm aggressively not going to see this one.
Only real space fights for Ian.
But,
You're aggressively not seeing this one?
Yeah.
Why?
Because, like, I don't care. I'm just not going to see it. It has zero interest to me.
Unbelievable.
My favorite Star Wars scene was the time on 30 Rock when TFA did that Leia joke. Anyway, I think the Blue Jays would be an excellent team to cast in a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, why is that?
Well, are a Dickie like Star Wars? This is
the best reasoning ever. One guy they on the team is into it?
He's a big fan. They have a lot of players who are, like, different ages. A lot of people in Star Wars are different ages.
This is the best. You would be the best casting director ever.
There are interesting people.
There's
on
more
the
than
Blue
one.
Jose Bautista is like a strong leader of men.
This team isn't made up entirely of
I'm
like
cutting you
twins.
Off.
So since they look different, they can be in the movie.
This,
I think
this,
I
think
no. we did it. I don't think I'm gonna
if
get
this
top
were,
casting.
If this were sports shouting, I would mute you.
This
right
is
now.
So good. I love it so much.
This is terrible.
I think Marcus Stroman with that haircut could be like one of the robot things.
One of the robot things. Oh, Dakota's so disappointed right now. This is the best day ever.
This is terrible.
I love it. This is so good.
Hey, Gemma.
Yes. I want to hear more about you.
No. No, I think he's good. You have anything else you want to add to that?
Yeah, Josh Donaldson has, like, the braid hair now.
That's
like,
true.
Like, Princess Leia had a hair braid.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty... That's I think they casted all the major roles.
Yeah. Robot thing. Great. Leia. Leader.
The little beeping.
Old man.
The little, beeping robot. Thing.
Yeah, the little beeping robot.
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, that's a movie that I would see, because I think what I liked most about it was specificity of character. And
John Gibbons is secretly someone's dad.
Okay, that's fair.
I want to see this movie so much. Yeah, I can't even tell you. I'm surprised that you don't aggressively want to not see it.
What I'm most intrigued by are all the answers and all of the specific beats that your story. You took us really through a journey there. It's like the hero's journey, and I appreciate that you did that.
Edwin Encarnacion could put on, like, the belt that the Wookiee wears.
Oh, so you know the word Wookiee.
Chewbacca the Wookiee.
Yeah.
That cool bullet belt.
Yes.
Mr. Performatively anti-Star Wars.
Does he, like, use that stuff for anything? He wears the belt, but does he have anything in it?
I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea.
Just when you thought the world was fully built.
It just, you have...
Why does he wear that every day?
Because it looks cool.
It's just swag.
He looks like a dog. He needs that to look
military. I disagree. It's like wearing cargo shorts. Like, nobody looks cool wearing an extra pocket.
But you just said it was a cool bullet belt. All
right. We've gone completely off the rails. Gemma, you need to save us by telling us
this is what you get for Star Wars the movie that I
aggressively don't care about.
Whatever. Go sit in the corner.
I truly think that this is the best Star Wars adaptation.
It's not.
I could imagine.
No.
Well, I thought of some teams.
Give me one.
I thought about them mostly based on director, because this is so important to the Star Wars nerds, etc.
Okay.
Sorry, nerds. I'm a nerd about other things, too.
A lot of, like, attacking Star Wars nerds while being like, oh, it's okay, because I'm a nerd about other stuff.
Well, I thought, all right, who's
a lot
the manager?
Of my friends are nerds.
Yeah.
Let me just tell you, here's a little life hack for you. If somebody begins a sentence with I'm not judging, but, comma, they're totally judging.
After I just resolved to judge adults less for the weird things they do.
All right, Gemma.
So I thought, okay, so the manager that everyone is, like, you know, who's everyone's favorite manager is Joe Madden, but I thought he couldn't really direct Star Wars movie because then it would just be, I think it would just be a comedy. Like, I think it would just end up like an Adam McKay-style comedy, which could be fun.
That would work.
Which could be good, but maybe not what Star Wars fans want. I thought about the Rangers just because I like the Rangers as a team, and I think I would like to see them do, like, some you know, tangential Star Wars world thing,
okay.
But I don't really know anything about Jeff Bannister's, like, personality or feelings, so I don't know how to direct. So I decided ultimately the Pirates should be the team and Clint Hurdle should be the director. He's really good at listening to his supporting staff, mm-hmm. so he could have all kinds of people come in and build this world with him, and it would be a whole team effort. It would be really fun.
Who's the lead?
Oh, Kutch.
Kutch.
Duh.
Okay.
Duh. I mean, how could you not root for him win anything? Or that maybe he could,
if it's a Star Wars film, I can think of somebody who would be rooting for him.
Isn't there a pirate? Isn't somebody a pirate in the Star Wars movie?
Han Solo is a pirate.
Exactly.
Yes. We could also, like, just...
He's kind of nuanced.
He's a smuggler.
I think that makes him a pirate.
He's a galactic smuggler.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, again, Game of Thrones. Doesn't have anything like that.
That guy...
There are many pirates.
Yeah. Yes, uh-huh. The Onion Knight. He's a pirate.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Okay.
He's also
I'm gonna save this segment with my amazing answer to I chose the New York Yankees. All right, director Joe Girardi. He's old school. All right, but he knows he has the binder of all the stats and stuff, so he knows like when to turn to.
So this is gonna be
the
like
crowdsourced aspect of it, as it were, the fans, as it were. here's the cast that I'm using. We're gonna make a sort of a. It's my own script, so I'll have written it myself.
Writer Dakota.
Here's the cast. Luke Skywalker will be Didi Gregorius, kind of wide-eyed, kind of naive,
he's
I like him as that. Han Solo. Now, one of our coworker Ben Kosman, fellow Cut 4 writer, came up with this, and I'm stealing it because it's genius. Han Solo as Alex Rodriguez.
I heard Ben say it earlier, so I already expended my reaction. Then.
It's pretty cool. Do you like that one? He's beloved now.
I have somewhat, a very strong feeling about this.
He's a somewhat checkered past, but now he's like people really like him, and he's sort of like moved past it. And like he initially does the thing that they all want him to do, which is go on like take them to Alderaan, and he initially does that because he wants money, but then he learns there's a greater purpose.
Wears a vest every day.
He's cool. I like that one. Okay. Chewbacca, Brett Gardner, keeping him guessing. He has no hair. Chewbacca has all hair.
That's just to surprise the fans.
That's just to surprise everyone. That's right. Like the
Gwendolyn
reboot.
Okay, the Gwendolyn Christie character.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Would Chewbacca have to shave if he played on the Yankees?
Now that is
that's
a fantastic question.
That's a really good question.
I assume he would.
Yes.
I think so, right?
But then also he is a Wookiee, so would they just be like, man, do what you want? Because he's
really
big and scary.
Be like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. We'll have to put that to the Yankees.
Yeah, you're gonna have to ask Joe.
Maybe that won't be in the prequel.
Perfect. Obi-Wan, who will not be in the new film, presumably, because he died in the fourth film.
Spoiler alert.
Derek Jeter, who is no longer on the New York Yankees. But so he's offering his saged wisdom. Sage wisdom, not sage.
It's seasoned with the herb sage.
Finn. The newbie, Greg Bird, the newbie Yankee. And then Darth Vader, Andy Pettit, because he was terrifying. And because his pickoff move was, I always thought it was a bot because I was a Yankees fan, or a Red Sox fan, and it irritated me. But it apparently wasn't, much like Darth Vader using the Force. And his Kylo Ren, who's the new enemy, who apparently loves Darth Vader, Masahiro Tanaka, who is the current ace of the New York Yankees pitching staff.
So
I'll
Yankees
take your stunned silence.
They're like fighting each
idea.
Other?
No, they're on this. It's kind of. they're fighting each other because we're making the movie with
you're right,
the one.
You're right. Okay, but
people.
Also this hinges on you being hired by the Yankees at some point so that you can be the screenwriter.
Yeah, which probably isn't going to happen considering I always talk about how I was a Red Sox fan.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
That would be tough. But this would be a moneymaker.
So I guess what you should do the next time there's an application is you should just send your Yankee Star Wars
fanfic. I'll just send them my script. Yeah,
you've fully written and send it to them as an application.
The Yankees do use Star Wars music. When they do,
and they introduce their players they play.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
So there's clearly some interest
synergies.
There. Yeah. Uh-huh. All right. Well, this was a disaster.
It was amazing.
Was it?
I think it was amazing.
This was an unmitigated disaster. Yeah. Now, because you guys got my pop quiz question right, as to which of the players I made up, I have to go first summing up the podcast into one tweet.
Uh-huh.
I could be spiteful with my tweet, but I'm not going to be. So instead, my tweet is this. What should I get the at Cut 4 staff for Christmas, question mark. Not Star Wars stuff. Hashtag Cut 4 cast.
Oh, that was nice. Because that implies you're going to get us gifts.
Maybe not. Not anymore. Maybe not anymore. I was going to, but not anymore. All right, Ian, since you derailed our conversation, I'm going to make you go next.
Okay. The hottest gift of this holiday season is a drone and not the beepy kind.
That's good. I like that,
good.
One.
That is good.
Hashtag cut forecast.
Hashtag cut forecast.
All right, Gemma, sum up our podcast into one tweet.
Okay. My at MLB New Year's resolution, : crowdfund Ian K's Blue Jays Star Wars crossover movie, hashtag cut forecast.
Blocked. Blocked and reported.
Yes.
Blocked and reported for
tweet. I just wanted it to be the quote, John Gibbons is secretly someone's dad. But I thought that would be a little too out of context.
Yeah, you know, whatever.
Because the rest of it was so in context.
Or just a picture of Marcus, or I just tweet a picture of Marcus Stroman's head in the little soccer ball drone.
I hate both of you. My New Year's resolution is to hate both of you less. That's what I'm going to attempt to do.
You can spend all of New Year's Eve thinking about that. Yeah, just, not at our cool
we're
going to
be
party.
Rhino Horn party. You'll be just thinking about us.
All right. You know what? We are not coming back on the Cup Forecast until it is 2016. We're taking a brief hiatus, but
so
we will
sad.
Return so at the beginning of the year. So much exciting stuff will happen. Star Wars will have been released at that point. I will force Ian to see it. But we will leave you with this review that, as we said many times, if you write us a review on iTunes, it can be 1 to 5 stars. We will read it on the Cut 4 cast, and someone has left us a review. This review is by Apigedi. A-E-P-I-J-E-D-I. Oh, Jedi there at the end. There you go. It was not me who wrote this.
Do you think it's supposed
spell
to be pronounced?
A-E-P-I-J-E-D-I.
Oh, I think it's like, isn't A-E Pi a fraternity?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it, somebody fraternity. Just kind of mashed their hand.
But they're also a Jedi of that fraternity.
Yeah. Okay, well, they listened to the podcast, and here's what they said. They give 5 stars. And the title is A Baseball Podcast Not About Baseball, which in light of
like
the Star Wars conversation.
Up to that
that's
today.
Correct.
I just started listening 2 weeks ago after the season ended, which is probably not an ideal time to start listening to a baseball podcast. That is true. Or maybe it is the ideal time.
I disagree.
Yes, because what are you going to, you can't watch baseball.
Right, there's no baseball to watch.
That's true. So you can enjoy this in place of games. All right. But this show is helping fill that off-season void. See, he gets
there you
that.
Go.
Or she. He or she gets that. I'm impressed with how much they cannot talk about baseball on a baseball podcast. Point taken. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much a show about nothing, the Seinfeld of baseball podcasts, if you will. I will.
That was a very successful
a
television show.
Yes, yeah. Did very well.
By all means, please let us be the Seinfeld of baseball podcasts. So that was a good review. If you want us to read your review on the Cup Forecast, go to iTunes, give us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, anywhere in there. But you have to actually write the review in order for us to read it.
And also make sure that you leave very explicit instructions on how to pronounce your name for Dakota.
Yeah, or else I'm just going to go blah, blah, blah. But that was a good one.
Dakota will read the review. So if you want to make Dakota say something,
maybe you should put it in the review.
Want to say.
Yeah, Star Wars is terrible. Hey. So make sure to do that. While you're there, you can subscribe to the Cut 4 cast. And again, we will be back in January. We may have a couple surprises before that on the Cut 4 cast feed. We may.
Okay.
But
I'm surprised.
The show won't be back in full until January. But also go to MLB.com/cut4. That's there all year round. Go to at cut4 on Twitter, Facebook.com/cut4. That content goes all the time. We will still be there. You can still find us there. We'll be writing. Don't worry about that. And of course, that is it. Guys, thank you for an awesome year. Of Cut Forecasts. Ian, thank you for waiting until the last one to dash my dreams. Gemma, thank you for being here as always.
I'm happy to be here. I'm excited for the new year. I'm excited to see, you know, the Blue Jays awaken. It's going to be amazing.
That's terrible, and you should be embarrassed.
I'm not. I'm really proud.
Do you want to read this in, like, one of those Star Wars languages now?
You know, whatever.
Is that
you
a thing?
See what I hear is.
Definitely a thing.
Thank you for being here, sort of, Ian. Thank you, Jennifer, for being here. And mostly, thank you for listening, and we won't talk to you next week. We'll talk to you in 2016.
What?